one in eight. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi,
one
McDonald's.
In eight start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers. We'll start cooking. Garlicky butter Texas toast tastes as good as it's looking. Fresh coleslaw and crispy fries you won't be skipping. And our secret cane sauce you'll want to keep dipping. Plus, our lemonade or iced tea made fresh today by me. Yo, 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 here's your chicken to go.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping. And our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Sam Dracula, host of the Charlotte Hornets fan channel that airs exclusively on YouTube and Twitch. We discuss the 2022-2023 Charlotte Hornets season. Also, we discuss LaMelo Ball, the NBA's presence in Charlotte, and much more. Sam is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers. We'll start cooking. Garlicky butter Texas toast tastes as good as it's looking. Fresh coleslaw and crispy fries you won't be skipping. And our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping. Plus, our lemonade or iced tea made fresh today by me. Yo, 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 here's your chicken to go.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping. And our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
And everybody plays four, sometimes five out. That means they're outside the three.
In case you don't know, Karl Anthony Towns has been out for a large chunk of this season. LaMelo Ball off the window and in.
It is shot.
LaMelo Ball just lulling the defense to sleep.
Oh, man, that's a horse shot in the backyard.
Scoreless last game before the All-Star break. LaMelo from Shakopee. Oh, man. Noel wraparound pass is deflected. Picked up by Gordon Hayward. Hornets with numbers. LaMelo.
Look at LaMelo
Ball off the window and in. LaMelo, got it! Second three ball, this one from Mankato. Terry Rozier, catch and shoot. Rebounded Mark Williams. LaMelo, the beat continues. Kids shooting it well tonight. LaMelo blows past McDaniels and scores the left hand. Loose, picked up by PJ. Look at this, wonderful ball handling by PJ. Missed the layup. LaMelo, Johnny on the spot. LaMelo! Absolutely no fear! LaMelo keeps the dribble alive against Anderson. LaMelo, straight on look. Got it!
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of Bally Sports South, and that was LaMelo Ball in action against the Minnesota Timberwolves as he scored 32 points on February the 24th of 2023. And that game was so interesting because LaMelo had a great game against the T-Wolves, but would go on to suffer a season-ending injury, ending the campaign, ending his season, and the possibility of the Hornets making the playoffs and getting a chance to get into the play-in tournament as the Hornets would be eliminated from playoff contention. But the team is still young, and the team has a lot of hunger. They have a lot of energy, and certainly the best is yet to come for them. To talk more about the Hornets 2022-2023 season, let's welcome them back to the program. He has a Charlotte Hornets fan channel exclusively on YouTube as well as Twitch, and you can also follow him on Twitter and Instagram. Let's welcome him back to the program, Sam Dracula. Hey, Sam, welcome back to the program, my man.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. We're going to talk about LaMelo in just one moment, but I want to start off by talking about some of the other contributors during this season for the Hornets. I want to start off with Terry Rozier. Again, Terry, we know about his time with the Boston Celtics as a role player, but just wrapping up his season with the Charlotte Hornets, he really stepped up big in terms of his scoring. Give me your thoughts on Terry in his 2022-2023 season.
So, you know, Terry's arrival in Charlotte was somewhat, you know, had like mixed reviews given the sign and trade with Boston and the Kemba Walker deal. And I think since he's been here, I think he's exceeded expectations and has largely gotten better every year on the offensive end. And for sure, the defensive end leaves a lot to be desired, but from a scoring point of view and just from a, you know, intangible like dog point of view, Terry Rozier brings that, especially in late game situations. Like, he's that guy to hit a big shot late in games. This year, you know, it's been tough because, like, across the board, everyone really kind of took a step back. Like, for instance, last year, Terry was a 37% shooter from three. This year, shot 32%, right? Like, everyone's kind of saw how the team's record played out. So everyone kind of regressed a little bit on the stat side of things. But Terry Rozier is an incredible player. I honestly wish he was, like, respectfully on a different team right now. Because I think he could help a lot of these playoff teams coming off a bench as a real, like, spark plug. So with Charlotte, I don't know. But Terry Rozier, I think, has given a lot to the squad since he's been here. But, like, I think he could do better than Charlotte, with all due respect.
He did his thing this past season with the Charlotte Hornets. So Terry made big strides and stepped up, especially in terms of the scoring department. And speaking of somebody that made big strides this year, Kelly Oubre Jr. I mean, Kelly, again, nice year for him. Again, Kelly, it's been a journeyman throughout much of his career, starting off in Washington, then going over to Phoenix, and then having a short stint with the Golden State Warriors. But now he seems to have found a groove since he's been in Charlotte, completing his second season with the team. Give me your thoughts on Kelly's season.
So Kelly missed a lot of time with injury this year. And there's a big question, too, around him, because he got hurt right around the trade deadline, or leading up to a few weeks before the trade deadline. And I think he got healthy just afterwards. And I mentioned that because he's an unrestricted free agent this summer. And he said he wants to stay, but this is something that all players have to say. You know, the Hornets are a capped team, so they can use their bird rights to keep him here, which I think they should. It'd be a mistake to lose out on the Kelly Oubre asset for nothing if you let him walk. But Kelly, since he's been here two seasons, has been a real roller coaster. From three, it's so inconsistent. The inconsistency from a shooting from distance point of view is really, really tough as a fan to watch. But from twos, he's genuinely excellent at from inside the arc. And I just wish he focused on that. And this year, even though he missed a lot of time, he stepped up in a lot of big ways. Cause initially, remember, he was signed to be Gordon Hayward's backup. Cause we know Gordon Hayward gets hurt often, right? And he started in Hayward's place when Hayward's been out. He's played the two when Terry Rozier's been out. I think he started 40 games this year, right? That's not why they brought him in here. And to his credit, he stepped up with from a shooting volume point of view, delivering some offense when they needed it, but with mixed results from three. Excellent from twos. And I just wish, as a fan, he stuck to the twos. But he's been at times the best perimeter defender on the team, maybe the best perimeter defender on the team this season. And I think that's really important when you consider how, you know, perimeter dominated the league is today.
All right, rightfully so, and definitely Kelly stepped up huge this past season with the Hornets. And speaking of somebody that stepped up, especially in the scoring department, T.J. Washington. T.J. Played almost a full season this past year, and again, he reached a career high thus far in points. Give me your thoughts on P.J. and his season.
I love P.J. Washington. He's coming up. His deal's over. He's a restricted free agent this summer. And I think the Hornets have to keep him because he's done everything. Like, when they talk about when you listen to like the great coaches and the great players, they all talk about, and like how a team is structured, they all have guys that are willing to sacrifice, right? Guys that are willing to take a lesser role from an offensive point of view to do the dirty work elsewhere. And PJ Washington, since he's been in Charlotte, has been a starter. He's been a bench guy. He's played center, and he's been a starter again. He's done it all. And then when this past season, when there's been no Terry, no Gordon, no LaMelo, PJ, who's normally the fourth option at best, when he becomes the number one option, he stepped up and wins. Like, it's his highest point totals came in wins when everybody's been hurt, you know? And so I'm really hopeful they keep him around. I don't know what number they keep him on contract-wise, but I think it'd be a big mistake to lose out on a guy like PJ Washington. Like Terry, I could see PJ playing for Boston. Like, I think PJ is better than Grant Williams, for instance, right? Like, I think PJ is one of those dudes that every good team in the league could use. Maybe not as a starter for every team, but definitely in a rotation, a top eight rotation. And you got to keep those guys. And so I'm a big fan of what PJ brings on both ends.
PJ definitely somebody that's brought it since during his time in Charlotte, and definitely it would have to, as you said so well, they would have to do everything in their power to try to bring him back. So PJ Washington stepped up big this past season in terms of the scoring department for Charlotte. And, you know, we mentioned his name earlier, and let's talk about him, Gordon Hayward. Gordon, when he's healthy, he's one of the best shooters in the league, very solid, but injuries have hampered him for quite a while now since his days in Boston, and he's trying to get back on the mend, so to speak. He just hasn't been able to get healthy in many seasons. Give me your thoughts on Gordon and his regular season that just passed.
So going back to the idea of sacrifice, like I talked about with PJ, Gordon brings that same thing when he's healthy. You know, first season in Charlotte, 44 games. Second season in Charlotte, 49 games. This year, this past season, 50 games. So it's trending upwards. Still a ways to go, right? I would love for him to get to 70. He hasn't played 70 games since the 2018-2019 season. And I would love for him to get to that point again, because if he plays that amount of games, Gordon Hayward, just from existing on the floor, is going to be a positive influence on things. And he could do it all. He plays on both ends. He could score on all three levels. He can control the pace. He can keep up with the pace. He's everything you want. The issue with him is his contract is insane. It's $30 million a year. This is last year of that deal. I fully expect the Hornets to not be good again this upcoming season. So the question is, what do you do with Gordon Hayward's contract? Because now that we're in the final year of that $120 million contract, I think it's a real asset that they could trade if they want to. Because they have other wings. Like, if they bring back Oubre, right? Or they have some younger guys in McGowan's and JT Thor that they can maybe give some minutes to. Again, I don't think the teams will be very good again this year. So they can, you know, rely on youth if they get lucky in the lottery, get Brandon Miller, let's say. You know, Gordon Hayward becomes expendable. And they have five picks, two first-round picks and three second-round picks this year. Why not bundle some of those up, move Gordon Hayward, get some, like, other pieces back, and just kind of build your team that way. So on the court, Hayward, I'm a big fan of Gordon Hayward. And part of me fully expects him, because of the contract year, to play all 82 games just out of nowhere and get another massive contract. But who knows? Who knows?
You're right about that. Who knows? And I want to stay again just with Gordon for a moment. We've mentioned about his health really since his time in Boston. His health hasn't been the same. What have you heard about his commitment to staying healthy? Has he been working hard to make sure that he can, as you said, play either a full 82-game season or be close to 82? What's the status in terms of commitment to being healthy and being there, not just for the Hornets, but being there for any team going forward?
I think he's totally locked in. I just truly believe he just has terrible luck. Like, he's stepping on people's feet, you know, and taking bad falls, right? I don't view it as something that, like with Steph and his ankles early on. It's not that like same injury that keeps happening and happening. It's always something random with Gordon. And looking at him, I've never doubted his conditioning or his strength. And you know, maybe it's the time where he maybe slims down a little bit more, because he has very large shoulders. And it's kind of like the Anthony Davis thing. Like, AD is just a little too big, and kind of, you know, the bigger you are, the harder you fall. You know what I mean? So maybe Gordon Hayward could do with some slimming down to just reduce the impact of falls and things like that. But largely, I don't view it as a toughness thing. I just think, or just a brittle thing. I think he's just been extremely unlucky since he's been here in Charlotte.
All right. I hope that Gordon can remain healthy because, you know, like you said, he's been one of your favorite players. He's been one of my favorite players since he's entered the league, and we want him to, you know, have a long, successful career. He can be healthy for the most part. And speaking of health, LaMelo Ball, you could say he's the franchise player, someone that was doing well until he suffered a season-ending injury and pre-injury. Give me your thoughts on LaMelo's season.
I've very mixed feelings about it because I don't know. He played 36 games. He missed the start of the season, right? He came, like, the season started later for him. So it was a matter of, like, when does his season start? Because he got hurt during preseason. So there's a few games there where it's like, all right, kind of just throw those out. Because his first two games against Miami, I believe, were just terrible. Third game, he was awesome. Then he got hurt again. So it's very hard to view LaMelo's third year in the league. And I just, but the numbers are the numbers, right? And so just with that in mind, I don't like it. I didn't like what I saw from LaMelo as a third-year point guard. I was hoping he'd take a bigger leap and stop making the same mistakes he's been making as a first- and second-year player because the fouling, the amount of fouls he commits, he's like top 10 in the league in fouls per game. He fouled out of 6 games last year. Remember, he played 36. And fouled out of 6 of them. And another 6, in 6 other games, he had 5 fouls. And so I don't know if that's the ankle, maybe he's moving a little slower, so he's reaching in more. But he had fouling issues last year. And on the other end, he's not getting to the free throw line. LaMelo's 6'7", and I don't think he plays like he's 6'7". The day he becomes that guy who plays like he's 6'7", getting to a spot on the floor shooting over guards, that's the LaMelo Ball I'm excited to see. LaMelo Ball is very exciting. He's very good. I think the Hornets should give him the extension that's coming up next summer. Not this summer, but next summer. I think he deserves every penny of whatever max he's eligible for. I would do that in a heartbeat. But I just want him, in order for him to make that leap from all-star to all-NBA, he has to shoot better from 2. He has to get to the free throw line more. And he has to stop committing bad fouls. Like, it has to happen.
I want to stay just with LaMelo for a moment. The last time I had you on the program, Sam, we talked about the lifestyle and him basically living practically his whole life being in Los Angeles or Southern California, to be exact, and making the adjustment to Charlotte. Is he still enjoying Charlotte, or does he have the urge to maybe want to go back to Southern California and maybe try his luck in another city? What have you heard in terms about the adjustment going from Southern California to Charlotte?
I mean, I haven't heard anything one way or the other, really. Judging from what he says he likes Charlotte. You know, I think the real question is how he feels about the organization, you know, which remains to be seen. Because, you know, league-wide, I don't know how well-respected the Charlotte front office is. So with him where he wants to go, I think he'll be – I think it's a little premature for him to leave. Just, you know, get your rookie extension money. Then, you know, if he wants to get out, when like the Clippers or whatever move into their new building and Kawhi and Paul George are off the books, because, you know, when they have things to trade, because the Clippers have like no assets, let's say, you know what I mean? Lakers in a very similar situation. So if he wants to get to LA through a trade, it's gonna be really hard because neither of those teams have like pieces really to move. But he's under team control right now, and so it's not really up to him at the moment. But as far as I know, he likes Charlotte. That's what he said. And I know he wants to win, and so does everybody else in the league, right? But I think I'm really wondering, like, are we in the middle of an era where that's not a thing, where guys stay with the team they drafted on? Look, the best players in the league are all with the team that drafted them. Every single one of them. Of this generation, within the last, like, I don't know, 9 years, everyone stays. And so will LaMelo be the first one of these guys to leave? Like, everyone thought Zion would leave last summer when his deal was up. Like, would he be the first guy to, like, say, you know what, I'm going to take the 1 year and then leave as an unrestricted free agent? Zion got paid. And I think with LaMelo, and we'll see what happens with his health, but I think it'd be foolish to deny any like long-term security, given three major ankle injuries in one season. So I don't see him leaving anytime soon, honestly. I'll be shocked if he did.
That'd be definitely interesting right there. I mean, LaMelo is a young talent. They're definitely trying to build around him. So we shall see what happens. You never know what happens in professional sports, and certainly you never know what happens in the NBA. And I want to talk just briefly now about Steve Clifford, the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets. He just completed his first year. They missed the playoffs, had to deal with the injury to LaMelo and Gordon and all sorts of injuries that they had on that team. Give me your thoughts on Coach Clifford in his first year as the coach of the Hornets.
So I love Clifford. I think Clifford's an awesome coach. And it's such a fresh – it's just crazy to say because he's been here. He was here 4 years ago. But it's a different group of players, right? And it's a different set, like a different like viewpoint, mindset with the franchise than when he was here last. But it's been a breath of fresh air is the saying, I believe. I've been trying to spit out. It's early, you know what I mean? He compares to Borrego, the previous head coach. Steve Clifford is active. I don't think I've ever seen him sit down during a game. He's calling out defensive plays. He's calling out players. He's very vocal on the floor and very engaged. I think he holds these guys to a certain level of responsibility out there. Two things I'm not a fan of with Clifford is he allows these guys to shoot way too much. Like the amount of between LaMelo, Terry, and Kelly, those guys were averaging 17 missed threes per game. And for a team that was pretty like average at offensive rebounds and terrible on defense, I don't know how he could let that continue. Cause the Hornets were playing at a pace that they couldn't keep up with on the other end, creating all these opportunities for the other team to score on a night in and night out basis. And there was little to no adjustment to that. Now, I will say to Clifford's credit, or just, you know, to shoot him some bail here, there were so many injuries. It's impossible for the squad to find a rhythm because guys were in and out all the time and guys were playing in different roles and different positions all season long. So I'm curious year two, Clifford here, how that will play out. It's also interesting too because Clifford signed a 3-year deal. First year in the books, second year coming up. The third year is a team option. So if they want to make a change during the season, after the season, Clifford is playing for another contract. He's kind of a lame duck coach here in Charlotte. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And so I think, you know, with all the injuries and the Bridges thing from last summer, I think everyone kind of got a free pass, Kupchak included, about the team's success. And so hopefully the whole like organization can move forward after like just a big old L of an offseason and a massive L of a regular season.
I want to stay just with the coaches for a moment. I know Coach Clifford just completed his first season with the Hornets, but you mentioned about the former head coach, James Borrego. Can you explain the differences? You mentioned about Clifford been really being fired up on the bench and never sitting down or hardly sitting down for that matter. But so far, what are the differences, in your opinion, between Coach Clifford and Coach Borrego?
I think just Clifford's more demanding. Borrego, I think, was really good at developing players because when he was in the area, he got tasked with the post-Kemba era of Charlotte, which was a full rebuild. Like, Dwayne Bacon was a starting shooting guard for the team, right? Like, they were fully in. They that season, like in 2019, post-Kemba, Borrego saw the – under Borrego, we saw the development of Miles Bridges, Devontae Graham, LaMelo Ball later. That was like the next year or whatever, but PJ was his rookie year. And then with Clifford, comparatively, you know, we saw guys like, so let me back up. So with, fast forward to Borrego's last like two seasons ago now, with, the Hornets had two first round picks, James Bouknight and Kai Jones. Guys in their rookie year brought, like, showed next to nothing, right? They got some time, but did nothing with it really. And we saw kind of Bouknight kind of self implode, you know, on the floor. He threw his pants at Borrego, like he literally threw an item of clothing at the head coach. And then some other stuff happened throughout the year and then the offseason. Clifford saw an opportunity to bring Bouknight in And it's like, yo, I'm going to give you a chance. Even when Book Knight was on TMZ, and you can Google that if you're not familiar with the Book Knight TMZ stuff. I don't want to get into it. But the next day, you know, he played like 20-something minutes against San Antonio. Book Knight got a full like month and a half run with the Charlotte Hornets, not the G League team, the actual big team. And we saw guys like Thor, Jones, McGowan's, draft picks from the previous year and the most recent draft get extended runs with mixed results. But we saw Clifford give these guys a real chance, which is really kind of the opposite of Clifford's rep. Clifford had this rep of not trusting the kids and playing the veterans. And we saw what happened when Mason Plumlee got traded. It was like, all right, Mark Williams, your time has come. But the whole season we saw, like before that, we saw Nick Richards make a massive leap, right? So I think Clifford has shown a similar level of development with these players underneath him. But given, I think he showed like more trust with the kids, and I think it's going to pay off this season. Because I think the Hornets have a really young team. You know, depending on what they do in the draft, they have potentially five more kids to the mix. Again, two first round picks and three second rounders. So any coach is going to like, all right, how do I get the most out of these kids without ruining their confidence? And I feel it's in good hands, because I think if they didn't make the change, I don't think we would have seen Kai Jones or Book Knight develop as much as they have with Cliff. And I credit Cliff with a lot of that.
All right. And, you know, I want to talk, as you mentioned, some of the young players on this Hornets roster thus far. One of the draft picks that they had in this past NBA draft was Mark Williams, the center out of Duke. Give me your thoughts on Mark and his rookie campaign.
I loved it. I was a little scared. Summer League came. Mark Williams was running around out there, just biting on every pump fake and imaginable, keeping his legs out to try to tip passes with his feet. I was like, oh, man, this dude is just trying to do too much. And he's just a kid. So, you know, they spent some time in the G League, because at the time the Hornets had Plumlee, that backup center role was grabbed and held onto by Nick Richards, to his credit, which resulted in a contract extension for Nick. And Nick really showed, he was a second-round pick two seasons ago, the LaMelo draft, and he's really stepped up in a big way as that backup center, that reliable dude to call upon. So there's no room for Mark Williams at the start of the year. So it was tough, because you see Jalen Duren, Walker Kessler, these other rookie centers having really good years. Meanwhile, Mark Williams is doing like 25 and 15 in the G League. He's like, all right, what's going on here? And I think it was just really clear that he just wasn't ready for the NBA. He got some time early on. But when it came time to like fully call his number, when they went all in on him, when they traded Plumlee, Williams was ready to go. He was ready to roll. And I think it's important for young players, especially because, you know, the team wasn't going anywhere. So the worst thing imaginable was to have a losing season and ruin the confidence of a young player. The Hornets were definitely going to have a losing season, but they didn't ruin Mark Williams' confidence. And I think there's a lot to build on. He was taking jumpers outside the lane. Like, the Hornets haven't had a center that could do that since like Frank Kaminsky. Like, Mark Williams and Nick Richards are showing signs, little glimpses of not stretch five. Like, they're not going to be Brook Lopez anytime soon. But I think these dudes are going to become real weapons in the NBA on both ends. Mark Williams from a shot blocking point of view, rebounding point of view, and potentially shot making point of view away from the lane. Like, I'm really excited to what Mark Williams can develop into. And I think in like, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, he has a chance to be the best center from the class. Like, Jalen Duren and Walker Kessler have, like, they're leading the charge right now. We'll see what happens with Chet. But Mark Williams has a ton of potential on him. And I'm really excited to see what a full season with him and LaMelo can bring. Because I think LaMelo can bring a lot out of Mark Williams, because he has really good hands. He's very big, a crazy wingspan. And I think he's like a perfect large target to find down in the post when LaMelo and him develop some really nice chemistry.
Rightfully so. Definitely the future's bright in Charlotte. And hopefully, as you said, with Mark continuing as the development, you get LaMelo hanging around a little bit longer, the future is indeed bright in Charlotte. And I just want to get now talking about the city of Charlotte for a moment. We know that not just the city of Charlotte, but specifically North Carolina is a basketball state. We know about the universities there, and we know that people in that state, just they love their basketball. And I want to talk about just the NBA's presence in Charlotte. What is the NBA's presence like in Charlotte, Sam, just in terms of how people rally around the Hornets and their genuine love for the NBA? I mean, the Hornets have been in the NBA for a long time now, and we know that the state of North Carolina also, they enjoy football as well, specifically the city of Charlotte loving the Carolina Panthers. So I want to ask you, what's the NBA's presence currently like in Charlotte?
I'd say it's pretty solid. Like, this fan base is really dedicated. Like, that building was mostly full the entire season. I think that is probably the biggest compliment I can give, you know, with a decent split. There are times where, like, the Celtics were in town, and it was probably, like, a 50-50 split as far as the fans in the building, like, who they're rooting for. But largely, I'd say the fan base is pretty solid and pretty strong during these, like, tough times. You know, when the team was first founded, the franchise was setting attendance records. Like, the city really wants this team to do well. And you saw it with how they started the campaign to change the name from Bobcats to the Hornets. You know, like, they really care. And when the day comes for the franchise to really, like, matter in the grand scheme of the NBA, this fan base is going to really make some noise, I think. You know, it's, like, not dissimilar from, like, how the Raptors – I fully expect, you know, how the Raptors went on the run in 2019. I fully expect that level of excitement whenever the Hornets figure it out. Because, friendly reminder, the Hornets now the Kings that made the playoffs, the Hornets are now on the clock. They have the longest playoff drought in the league right now. So it's going to be a minute before they're back in there. But when that day comes, I think the city's going to go nuts. Because you mentioned the Panthers. The Panthers are going through a tough time. They still support them thoroughly. Like the Hornets, even the MLS team, Charlotte FC, that team is not very good. But that place is still selling out. The fan base here the city here is a very good sports town. And, you know, people have come to Charlotte from all over the country. Like, I'm not from Charlotte originally. I'm from St. Louis originally, right? The people that come here, they support, they kind of carry their allegiances to their wherever they came from. But it's hard to ignore the energy from the actual Charlotte-based teams, even the Carolina Hurricanes. I know it's Raleigh, it's a different part of the state, but it's a lot of love, like a lot of Hurricanes love here in Charlotte. So it's really cool. It's a really cool place to be. And I think the fan base is very hungry for a winner.
Hopefully they can reach that opportunity. I mean, the Sacramento Kings, when we watched it during the playoffs, man, that crowd in Sacramento was electric. And hopefully the Hornets are not too far away that can feel that same electricity as Kings fans felt in this past postseason run. Hey, you heard it from him. He's Sam Dracula. He has a YouTube channel dedicated to covering the Charlotte Hornets. So again, Sam, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what you have going on over on at the Hornets fan channel.
Yeah, so youtube.com/SamDracula is my YouTube channel. SamDracula.com has, like, all my links to all my socials and all that stuff. You want to check that out. On all socials, my handle is SXMDRXC, but SamDracula.com has all the links to all that stuff. Again, youtube.com/SamDracula for all that good stuff.
Awesome, and you heard it from him. He's Sam Dracula. Has a YouTube channel dedicated to the Charlotte Hornets. Check out his stuff, and he's going to keep you posted on anything and everything happening with the NBA Charlotte Hornets. Sam, as always, this is a lot of fun, my man. Thanks again. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Hey, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
And everybody plays four, sometimes five out. That means they're outside the three. In case you don't know, Karl Anthony Towns has been out for a large chunk of the season. LaMelo Ball off the window and in.
It is shot.
LaMelo Ball just lulling the defense to sleep.
Oh, man, that's a horse shot in the backyard.
Scoreless last game before the All-Star break. LaMelo from Shakopee.
Oh, man.
Noel, wraparound pass is deflected. Picked up by Gordon Hayward. Hornets with numbers. LaMelo.
Look at LaMelo Ball.
Look at LaMelo Ball off the window and in. LaMelo, got it! Second three ball, this one from Mankato. Terry Rozier, catch and shoot. Rebounded Mark Williams.
LaMelo. The beat continues. Kid's shooting it well tonight. LaMelo blows past McDaniels and scores in the left hand. Loose. Picked up by P.J. Look at this. Wonderful ball handling by P.J. Missed the layup. LaMelo, Johnny on the spot.
Look at
LaMelo! Absolutely no fear! LaMelo keeps the dribble alive against Anderson. LaMelo, straight on look. Got it!
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
Everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Sam Dracula, host of a Charlotte Hornets fan channel that airs exclusively on YouTube and Twitch. Thanks again to Sam for coming on the program as we discuss the 2022-2023 Charlotte Hornets season, also LaMelo Ball, the NBA's presence in Charlotte, and so much more. Till next time, everybody, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.